There were 10 medical professionals in the room.
That's someone's job, belly holder.
That's on your CV.
I've been alive.
Just got a guitar in the front, saxophone in the back.
Now it makes sense. You sit them across the room and fire.
Just one shot at a time.
Boom.
On today's episode, we speak to Alex Davis. Alex is a community choir leader, but recently him and his wife have become parents to twins, not just one newborn, but two. So me and Jordan ask all of the twin related questions, and we had an absolutely amazing time chatting to Alex. Hope you enjoy this conversation, and we'll jump right in.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Amazing. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you.
It's great to have you. Just for a quick first question, Alex, tell our listeners, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? What's your setup? What are your kids? All that kind of stuff.
A quick question. That's like a million.
Yeah. Tell us your life story.
Okay. Well, so I am Alex. I am living in Cardiff, but I'm from Birmingham. I'm a working musician. So I work with a charity that runs community choirs for people affected by cancer. So I do a lot of work around that and a bit of choir leading and stuff. And I teach music as well. So that's what I do. And then we've got two little adorable twin girls. So they are coming up to 4 months, so 16 weeks, and they're precious and gassy. Yeah.
So what do 16-week-old babies do? Because I can't remember.
They put their hands in their mouth a lot. Sometimes in preference over the boob, which is interesting, which is frustrating my wife a little bit, but and they're smiling a lot, they're chatting, and yeah, so they're through some of the kind of the worst of the newborn stuff and into some of the best of the cute tiny baby stuff. And they don't crawl, so they kind of stay put, which is, again, it's a sort of a sweet spot.
It's what I call the potato baby phase.
Yes.
Like, they're adorable, but they don't move around a lot, which is great. Like, I've got loads of questions about having twins, especially, like, just logistics and all of that. But, like, can you already begin to tell, like, different characteristics between both of them?
I think so, yeah. So their names are Gabby and Vivian. And so Viv's the older twin by 17 minutes.
Wow.
And I think Gabby, I think, is quite a chatty and I think extroverted, but then and Viv seems to be also quite chatty and extroverted, but not to the same degree. So
Okay.
I know that doesn't sound different when I'm saying it, but it is different when you see them. So
Like personalities are like emerging, like they're there.
yeah, exactly. It's definitely coming through. Definitely coming through.
You've not got a quiet and a loud one. You've got a loud and a louder one. Is that what you say?
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, Alex, so you're a twin as well, Alex.
I am, yeah. So the funny story with me is I'm an identical twin, and then my two of my sisters, I have three sisters, and the two eldest are also twins. So my parents had two sets of twins. And I like to say it's very efficient of my mother to have had three pregnancies and five children. But yeah, so
Who's the older of you and your twin?
my brother,
And do you know by how
he's
many minutes?
of course, because he's told me many times, it's 6 minutes.
Was just thinking, like
So,
when you said like the minutes, I'm sure like most twins have this thing of like this badge of like it's
yeah.
this amount of minutes, and like don't you forget it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without fail. Any set of twins, they'll know the difference.
Do you know what I love
Yep.
about twins? Every now and again, you'll get a set of twins that were born on different days where that 17
Yeah.
minute straddles midnight. I just find that so funny, and I don't know why.
I really, really wanted that to happen because our girls were born at about three. It was over end of like between 2:50 and 3 something a.m. So I was really hoping that when we got to like midnight that they'd come out, but they didn't. So, but they do share a birthday with my wife's father and my grandmother. So,
Wow,
there we go.
multiple. Look at
Yeah.
that. When, like, this is a bit of an odd question, but like, when you were beginning to try to have like children, did you at that point have the conversations of twins? Like, how far in advance were you like, this, there could be twins, or like, we got to prepare, or was it like a surprise?
Because I thought twins skipped a generation, or is that just like one of those old wives' tales?
So this is the thing. So there are so many things that I heard about twins that I've kind of had to throw out the window. So the idea that it skips a generation. Oh no, but it goes up, it passes down on the mother's side. So so as far as I was concerned, when my wife found out she was pregnant, there was zero chance of it being twins, or at least that was just like super unlikely. And then. Yeah, so I got round to the kind of being excited to have for having a baby. This is good. This is good because I was a bit like to begin with, but yeah, so I got very excited about the fact that we're having a baby, and then went for the scan 12 weeks, and like she was like, "Oh, there's that one. Yeah, there's a little one, and then there's the other one," and yeah, that's kind of how we found out. So,
Wow.
yeah.
And then did that, could you just kind of mentioned your initial feelings were a little bit like, oh, did that calm you because you're familiar with twins? You think, hang on, I've got loads of experience of twins. Or did that kind of ramp up the nerves?
To be honest,
That's like
I
saying I've got
think,
loads of experience being a person.
well, it is, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
I've been alive.
But like you can go to
No.
your mum for all sorts of advice and your dad.
So in the moment, I kind of just found it funny. We both did. We just found it really, really funny. And I think ever since then, I've kind of had a bit of a, I guess, a light-hearted approach to all of this. Just kind of knowing that we'll get by, we'll get by, we'll be okay. And my mum does give some advice. She's really quite like hands off. She won't be too intrusive, which is quite is helpful. But she does give like a bits of advice when it comes to feeding and stuff like that. But I think the main thing, my mum is just kind of quite supportive of my wife, encouraging her. As someone who's been through it. So I think that counts for more than tips and tricks sometimes.
Yeah, she can really empathize with,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
It's mad because I imagine, like, from
going from no children to two children sounds like hectic. And I imagine it is, but you've had the no children part. So even one child's hectic. Like logistically, like what does juggling, but not literally juggling two twins, but like, how do you put like,
sometimes
when you're feeding both at the same time, like, are you just tag teaming? How does that work?
My wife breastfeeds them. She tandem feeds them. So, which is amazing. And it took a while. And if there's anyone out there who's about to have twins, just know that you don't have to tandem feed straight away, because it can be a source of a bit of stress and worry. Because it takes a little time to learn how to do. But she does that now, and that's working really well. She's got a nice big pillow and sits them both down like that. And in the evening, we top them up with some formula. So we just do one each. So
When you said tandem feeding, I heard cannon feeding, and I was thinking, cannon? That sounds insane.
We sit them across the room and fire
some one shot at a time.
Boom. That's incredible. So going back to your childhood then, what's the age gap between your older twin sisters and then you and your brother?
They're like 6 years older. So it goes my oldest two sisters, then 3 years, then my middle sister, then 3 years, then me and my brother.
Amazing. So you were quite a kind of, I imagine it was quite chaotic then growing up.
I think so, but I think the eldest two, by the time me and my brother arrived, the eldest two were able to kind of look after themselves, really.
Yeah.
So I think it was pretty fairly well managed, although you can't choose twins, but yeah, for considering, I think they managed quite well.
Yeah. Because the reason I ask is because you mentioned you're a musician, and musicians quite often will come from musical families. Is that how it was in your household? Was there a lot of music? Was there a lot of musical influence from your parents and your older siblings?
Mainly for my dad. So my dad was a singer songwriter. He likes to write songs and play guitar. He taught me and my brother to play guitar. My sisters didn't take up music, but my brother and I kind of just fell in love head over heels with music from a sort of early age. Picked up lots of instruments, So we kind of encouraged by our dad, really. So we were the ones making all the noise, really.
So. is that on your mind of like, how soon is too soon to teach them how to play? Like trying to get a guitar between two newborns is a bit difficult, but
I sit them on my lap at the keyboard, and I do try and get their hands to press the keys just so that they can get that feeling of, you know, doing something. I do think about that. Because I really want them to love music. I really want them to kind of grow up with music. Whether I want them to have a career in music, that's another thing, I suppose. a conversation for another day. But I think I'd love for them to just kind of grow up singing and just music being a natural part of life, that then kind of, it's not so much I'm learning this instrument, I'm doing this instrument, but it's just that we do music in this household, you know? So that's what I'm hoping for.
That's really cool.
That's awesome. I'd love my son to play drums.
Really?
Yeah, just because I want a drum kit in the house.
Yeah, my daughter doesn't seem interested. We've got guitars. I think we have a keyboard somewhere, but she likes to play on the drums when we go to church.
They all do, don't they?
Mainly because it's loud. Yeah, and then you've got like her nan who's like, oh, she's naturally gifted, isn't she? No. No, like there's no rhythm in those bones.
Grandparents.
She can learn, though.
If your kid picks up an instrument and makes any sort of noise, grandparents are like, whoa. Whoa.
Where was this encouragement when I was a child?
Get him some lessons. Whereas before, I was younger, it was like, stop making them. No, that's not true. My mum and dad always encouraged me to be the musical, but grandparents love it, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, fan that flame.
But it is that thing. Like, I do think about it, like, for my daughter, of like, again, like what you said, just want her to be able to like love music. And then there's like a particular like emotional connection that you have with music, which is difficult to come by in different situations. And maybe it's just that creative aspect. But yeah, I think the day that she wants to learn an instrument will be a good day.
Yeah, definitely. I think as a music teacher, I'm kind of conscious that, you know, the learning of music has a lot of baggage, or can have a lot of baggage for a lot of adults. And so whereas like kids are naturally drawn to music, that's why we use music to kind of teach children how to speak and how to use language and things. So I think music is something that kids are naturally drawn to. So if we can just piggyback off of that and just kind of almost just kind of keep like fan that into flame, the sort of thing, the kind of what's already there, just kind of help it to grow, basically.
I have this image now of when you wake up, you just make the morning a musical. I know that's probably not the truth, but that's all I can see in my head.
Yeah, we're basically, it's basically Broadway. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So where would you kind of advise any listeners? Because what I struggle with in all areas of kind of hobbies and interests with my kids is towing that line of being a pushy parent, but also knowing actually this is really good for you to learn and to persevere with it. Have you got any sort of advice there?
I think that it's the role of the parent to in a sense be pushy at times. So, and I'm thinking maybe when they're a little bit older, like in the 7 to 10, going up into teenage years, when there might be other things that they're more interested in doing, and they might be distracted. It's the same with any discipline. You won't automatically want to get up and do that thing every day, and that's where part of the role of the parent in music education comes in, is to be that constant reminder that, hey, if you can do this, you're going to make progress. And being involved and actively kind of supporting in a child's musical education, it's really integral for long lasting success, I think, in music. There will be a small percentage of kids who will just love it, take to it, and then become obsessed. And that's great. And it's often those people who then become, you know, career musicians or something like that. But that might not be the same for everyone. And it's, in any case, it's going to be important for the parent to be actively involved and actively supporting and encouraging and in some ways kind of regulating, so that the child is able to kind of invest the time, because, you know, kids don't see the long term. So they won't see what the benefit of what they're investing now will bring in the future. So it's the parents' job to help them see that.
That's so good. I'd never actually thought of that in terms of like music. Obviously, of course, it's a discipline, but until you've actually said it, I didn't really click. And it's that thing of, you can apply it to loads of other areas of life where, yeah, of course, we're going to have to try and like encourage them and push them to do a lot of stuff. And that is right across the board. And I think that's really helpful of now, like, regimented 7 a.m. music lessons. No?
Get up.
Get up now. Find middle C. That's B flat. What am I teaching you?
That's really funny. I've got to ask, Alex, have you and your brother ever pretended to be each other growing up?
No, we've not. I think it's probably because we're just too well behaved as individuals. So we didn't really get up into that much like twin based mischief. So
have you ever been like confused for each other by teachers, like wanting to give each other a telling off, or you're like, it's not me.
Oh, yeah. Like, my mother would get the wrong name. You know, she'll go for one name and then she'll try the other. It happens all the time. Yeah, 100%.
That's really funny. Because if I had a twin, I think we'd have just tried it all the time. I think we constantly just would have been trying to get out of things or cause mischief.
It's so funny, because I remember like the first time I met you, Alex, I don't know, I probably must have been very early teens, probably even like 12 or something. I remember only distinguishing you and your brother between your hair. And that was like, that's how I could tell. And so, and then if I didn't see you for like another year, I had to make sure that it was still the same way around.
Yeah. So I used to have an afro. So I was Afro Alex. And then my brother he had short hair. So... that was the kind of no fro joke. That was it.
That's really good.
Is there anything that, obviously you're still very like, still very early days, but like, is there anything that you're like coming across in just like the parent child life where you're recognizing, apart from the obvious, that having twins is like just not thought of by a lot of people? Maybe it's like a product, or like even like getting in, traveling with twins just seems like it takes me and my wife, both of us, to be on board to get my daughter out of the house.
That's a good question. I mean, I think one thing I will say is just in the health service in general, I don't think there's a lot of training given to folks around twins. I don't mean this in a kind of negative to midwives or health visitors.
This is the place to air it. Exclusive.
Let it out.
But it's just, it is very like common that they'll give you the kind of advice for single babies, and you just kind of have to figure it out as to how that relates to two. Times it by two. Yeah.
Just double it.
And hope for the best. So yeah, in that with regards to like advice and support, your best bet is kind of finding twin groups and things. And my wife wanted me to say there's a Facebook group for there's a breastfeeding group, breastfeeding for twins and triplets UK, where you can kind of share stories, and that's quite helpful and stuff like that. So you can kind of hear from other people and who understand what the situation's like. So when it comes to advice, there's definitely a kind of, you just get given, this is how a baby works. And then you kind of have to kind of do the math as to how you make that work for two. When it comes to like products and things, there'll be like niche. It's the home of the niche. So there'll be one or two or three kind of like pram or travel system products tailored to twins. So we picked ours off of Facebook Marketplace. So a double buggy, which is quite cool. And that comes with like, you know, two car seats and all that sort of stuff. And so as long as we can kind of get them in the car seats and dressed and everything, then we can take one each down to the car. And I tried to, in general, give us half an hour to do all of that in order to get out of the house. So that's the idea. that might have to stretch to like an hour when they're like 3, 4 or something.
I think it might be that you might just be competent and I'm just incredibly incompetent.
No. It's just like I said, it's just because they can't move yet, so it's just have to dress them. But there's another product which is quite cool. There's a twin carrier made in designed in the US, where you can get one twin on the back, one twin on the front, and then it also splits into two separate carriers. So But as far as I know, that's the only one of its kind. It's called the Twin Go. So that's quite cool. My wife, because they're a bit small still, so they can't use them like in the kind of front and back position just yet. But my wife's very much looking forward to it. I can't actually see the utility for it.
just got a guitar in the front, saxophone in the back.
Okay, so now it makes sense. Thank you. Now it makes sense. But so I mean, so far, just having the two carriers that works for us really well, just kind of to get stuff done and move around the house. So to answer your question, there's just a lot of niche products for twins that you kind of have to dig around for, do a bit of hunting, and maybe you'll find something secondhand as well. So,
Oh, amazing. Very, sounds very different.
Yeah. One. When I think about the baby carrier, like there was a point where Noah was getting bigger and I was like, oh, this is starting to hurt my back now. Can't imagine doing two.
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Going uphill, oh, that's a steep incline.
Get the Twingo out. So what was kind of birth like? Because they don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but they don't typically let women with twins go as long as women expecting one, do they? Or is that wrong?
No, that's right. Yeah. So full term for twins is 37 weeks.
Oh, okay.
If you get up to 37 weeks, then there'll be conversations about, or even before that, there'll be conversations about being induced. But with my wife, she wasn't induced. The babies came basically 37 plus 4, I think it was. And then she pushed them out. So, yeah. But I mean, not like there was a lot of labor. There was a long labor as well. So her waters broke on like the Thursday. She went into hospital. And then they kind of, there's a lot of monitoring going on with twins. They want to try and make sure that they've got both heartbeats. So we came into the hospital, they monitored for the heartbeats. Everything was fine. And then because, you know, they could have sent her home, but they did have a bed for her. So she stayed in, and then contractions started overnight. And then basically for a full 24 hours, she was just kind of in labor. At like 10 a.m., it was active labor. And then it was, she was fully dilated at midnight, and then she was pushing at 1 a.m. And then first one came out at 2:50 something. So
wow.
Long time.
What
long
a hero. Time.
And old sesh.
The surprising thing was when it actually came to the pushing, there was, there were 10 medical professionals in the room. So we had the two midwives who were helping my wife do the push in. There were two midwives ready to take one baby over to the kind of the incubator heater thing and just kind of check them over. There's two midwives ready for the other twin. There was how many is that? That's six so far. There was an obstetrician, so a doctor. There was an anesthetist who was there, and then there was, I guess, another two midwives. One was there just to hold the belly after the first twin came out. So the first twin comes out, the second one is likely can flip round. So in order to stop that happening, there has to be a midwife who puts the hands on the belly, holds it in place until like it's ready to come out. So it got very, very busy.
I never knew that.
That's incredible. That's someone's job, belly holder. Is that
it's on your CV?
Is that double the amount in a normal like labour
of people?
Yeah.
Well, it varies. It varies because we just had one with our first, and then because we had a few complications with the second, there was five or six.
Wow.
It varies, but yeah, I'd say 10 is a lot.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
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 I mean, and yeah. Also you've got that in incredible detail. Well done. That.
Oh yeah. Well, it's, I mean, I don't have a great memory, so I will forget it at some point, but for now it's ingrained in my memory. So
I remember of our seconds that Liverpool were playing Leeds and kickoff was 4 o'clock. And, I was thinking, hey, I might get kickoff. And she was born at 16:16. And then my wife immediately, like after giving birth, and we found out the baby was fine, she went and had a shower and I watched the second half with our newborn.
Oh, lovely.
It was lovely.
Lovely little moment.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Those are the little things that you appreciate.
Yeah.
But the belly holder wasn't there.
The belly holder, no, she was holding me. Oh, incredible. No, that's, and how did you feel when all these people are like in the room? Were you prepared for that? Did they tell you, look, it's going to be a busy room?
They mentioned it. Yeah. The midwives did mention, and the midwives, by the way, just were amazing. They do an amazing job.
Oh, absolutely.
And they kind of explained that, yeah, there'll be a lot of people, when it comes to go time. So, we were prepared, but I guess it was just a lot going on. And bless her, my wife just was absolute trooper and continues to be a trooper. So I was just kind of really, you know, just wanting to try and support her. But then as soon as the first one came out, I went over to the first one just to kind of, you know, be with her in her first moments and stuff. So, yeah, it was a bit like of a whirlwind. Guess that's the best way to describe it. And almost it was over almost as quickly as it began. And then it was just, you know, two midwives again, and then the babies and things. So, yeah.
Did you know you were having girls?
Oh, yeah. So as soon as we could, we found out the gender because in my mind, there's no point messing around. If you're going to have two, there's, what's the point in
so many like other factors you got to consider?
Got to prep.
It's just, yeah, you got to prep 100%.
Is there anything from like how your parents parented you, which has kind of influenced the type of parent you want to be to your twins?
Yeah. So my dad's really big on, each twin having their own identity. He didn't want them dressed the same. Mm. Now there is also utility in not dressing your twins the same. You can tell them apart. but I think it's important for them to establish their own identity. So, you know, it's even down to like the first name that we kind of came up with was Gabriella, but we gave that to the second baby because I didn't want to show like preference to the first one that came out, you know. I just want them to be themselves and not just not each other, you know, if that mm. makes sense, and mm. not just part of a pair. So I guess part of that's down to how I was parented, but also just down to the fact that I'm a twin as well. So yeah, their individuality is something I really want to hone and promote, basically.
That's lovely.
Oh, that's so good. Oh, Alex, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I've really enjoyed it. I've actually learned so much.
Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
It's been amazing. 16 weeks in, is there anything that you've learned, any sort of wisdom that you would share with parents first time expecting or whatever? Is there anything that comes to mind that you just think people need to know this?
Yeah. It's really hard on your back. So I'd say just learn some stretches. Just, yeah, and strengthen your core. That's because so there's good. A lot of lifting.
All the pregnant women listening are going, yeah, you think. Oh, amazing. Alex, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the pod. This has been wonderful. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Parenting Tools. If you like this episode and you are listening on a podcast player, please do leave a rating. And if you're feeling really kind, please leave us a review. We would appreciate that so much. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up button and of course, subscribe to the channel. Jason and I will be back next week. We'll be catching up on Mother's Day. We'll be answering your questions and we'll be reading out the funny things that your kids have said this week. So please do send those in. And of course, we'll be catching up on all the hilarious chaos of being dads. As a wise man once said, we will see you in your ears next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.